Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents Pit Row with your host Ralph, where we will review the upcoming NASCAR weekend's races and go over the last weekend's races, what happened, what we saw on the tracks, and build towards DFS picks. Let's jump into our latest episode. Pit Row, I'm your host Ralph. This podcast is all about racing, y'all. It's about NASCAR. It's about learning, getting better at this craft, marching towards playing daily fantasy football, DraftKings and FanDuel, and making picks for NASCAR. But before I get into giving you guys picks, we'll have to wade into the waters and see how it is, right? And so Pit Row is going to be about just a quick, you know, briefing of what we saw last week and maybe even a tiny bit less, you know, about where we might see this week. But as I move forward, hopefully want to get more knowledgeable and give you guys more accurate information. So again, that for DFS purposes, we can play and win. But excited to start the journey that is NASCAR. We've got the next gen car this season. Guys, I'm not cold new to NASCAR, but the whole thing is, if you listen to the Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, you know we've these other podcasts. But I've decided that easier to get the foot in the door somehow may be doing something that somebody else isn't. There's a lot of opportunity in the NASCAR world, so I'm hoping to capitalize on that. Especially as a black guy. I think there's something interesting about that personally. But I will say, it's not my first, you know, I'm not just picking it up cold. I've been interested in it for years, played DFS on and off, won a few times here or there, but now we want to start investigating this closer and paying close attention to it and using this platform to talk credibly about the racing. So that's a little bit of the background of, you know, why am I doing this? Where's NASCAR? It's at a revolutionary state. We've got the next gen cars, I was starting to say. And so this car has been altered. NASCAR was needing a facelift for quite a few years there, and they were finally able to do it. This is like a brand new car, if you guys don't know. For a lot of people who may be new to this with me, this thing is more close to street legal, as close as they've been to a street legal car. It really is, you know, almost akin to, you know, Chevys and Mustangs, so like Corvettes and Mustangs running up and down the track, or Camaros rather, running up and down the track racing each other. And Camrys too. So very interesting times, but the dynamics of that is, you know, some of the guy, you know, a lot of what's going to change is palpable because the car is new, and so it doesn't drive the way the old cars did. We don't know how some teams and drivers will react, and so there's a lot of new field to cover with the next gen car. There's been a couple of races. Obviously, you had the duel. Then we were in California at the Coliseum there. And it's nice to kind of wade in slowly, but definitely want to pick it up and talk about the big race, Daytona, last week, Daytona 500. Fantastic race, if you ask me. I thought it was a hell of a race, pretty exciting to watch. You know, Ford's from the beginning running up top is, you know, one thing you notice right away. They take the top line and these Fords run fast and hard right at the start of the race and just get out there. I will also say I thought the cars were tightened up close together for a lot longer than I thought they would be. So that was pretty cool to see, you know, some bumper to bumper racing without incident for fair stretches, especially to start the race. But the Fords up top to start, and then eventually, you know, as we're nearing down the end of that stage one, we start to get some line gaps. And so, because it really, if you think about it, if you were to go back and look at that race, it's a significant part of the beginning of this race, this past Daytona, the top line is just burning, and that bottom line can't keep up. They can't keep up. They're not running anywhere near as fast as the top line. And the lead car on the bottom line is so far, but it's like, you know, close to the 10th car on the top line, which is crazy, right? But then the top line starts to get some gaps, and that allows the bottom line to sort of catch up, if you will. Kurt Busch you know, takes the lead low. He swerves out, sees this and goes low, and that starts this, you know, more viable inside line. Now we're getting down to the point to where it's almost close to, you know, pit time for a lot of these cars. Another thing I thought was interesting is the inside line is then playing this tactic of blocking. There's so much more in racing going on than most people realize, right? And so as we're watching this race, now that we've seen this inside line establish itself and catch up a little bit with the outside line has been running strong. Now those Fords want to come in and pit, but now they want to block, you know, at least make it literally hard for them by being in such a chain, right? That what are you going to do, run into six cars? So a lot of jockeying going on there just to figure out if we need to get into pit row. Into the stage one, I thought that was very interesting. Then Penske team comes in first, right? And then this lessens the inside line. And so then the Toyotas come in, and then they bring the Chevys with them. The left side tires and gas on the first pit seem to be, you know, the most aggressive thing that I saw happening. We had a little bit of a caution restart, but the left side tires and gas is what I saw a lot of people doing. The caution restart, we see cars trying to find the middle again after this. Into stage one, Harvey Burton battling. Truex jumps out down on the bottom line, and he's able to take that stage. But he jumps out in front of the Toyotas just when the Toyotas are talking about not pushing so hard, which is the thing, because we can hear them on the radios, right? And so they're talking a little bit about, you know, maybe backing off a little bit. And then Truex jumps down low. And just when the Toyotas are talking about not pushing so hard, in the top corner, Ford's up top. Or I'm sorry, the Fords were up top. And this is where we see the nudge. There's a caution because Burton gets nudged by Keselowski. So there's questions, right? Is Keselowski racing? Was he racing it too hard? Right? There's a lot of situation here going on. That's what I mean to say. Sorry guys, I'm trying to read my butchered notes from the race. But as we're listening to the Toyotas on the radio talk about maybe backing off, not pushing it so much, we see the Fords, we see Keselowski get into trouble with Burton by doing that, pushing it too much. They were up top. That's what I meant to say. He taps the corner. He taps Burton corner. They were up top. He taps his corner. He's pushing them so hard. He tapped that corner, and that's all it took. Funny thing about it, heart rate monitor, I love watching that while all this stuff is going on, because at this point, Burton goes flying in the wreck. But the heart rate monitor really tells the story. You see these younger guys, their heart rate is really up there. It's really fluttering. But you see like a Denny Hamlin where it's like ice in his veins, you know? Like, I just think that that's a very interesting stat, seeing these guys' heart rate as we're watching the race unfold. And so it's cool, right, when there's a wreck and you see, you know, you could go back and just socially who was really, you know, affected by it, or maybe who kept their cool. I think that's a very cool part of NASCAR. Just listening in general, being able to hear what they're saying on the radio and stuff like that. That's what I thought was awesome about listening to the Toyotas talk about backing off a little, like don't push so hard. And then all of a sudden, literally as they're saying that, Keselowski gets into the trouble there. Second stage, we see a single file ride in the grooves, which was cool. So we see everybody try to go in one lane and ride the grooves, which I thought was pretty interesting. The next gen car was showing endurance, is what it looked like. This car sort of took a little bit to settle in, but it showed some endurance. Stage two went to Truex also. So at this point, he's having a fantastic race. But a wreck at 151 sucked for Logano. Logano was, he had high hopes for the day, and he wasn't racing terribly. You know, last stage, the Fords on the bottom, Toyotas on the top. Bush has too much damage though. So this is what I'm looking at basically in the last stage. Fords go, as I said, to the bottom. Because you got to understand, if you're new to this, these cars, you're finding your groove, right? These Fords were running at the top at the beginning of the race. Bottom of the race, you know, is where they find themselves at this point in the last stage. But it's because your car runs differently depending on, you know, how the course of the race is. Does the car have endurance? The sun's also moving, right? The track temperature is changing. There's a lot of variables that make it so that you can't just decide, I'm going to run here today, right? You've got to continually figure out what's going to work for you. So in the last stage, we see the Fords on the bottom, as I said, and then the Toyotas are riding the top. You know, I love Kyle Busch. He's probably one of the better drivers out there, more accomplished, so many wins, etc., etc. His car was banged up, though, at this point. And so, you know, what you really want is him leading that Toyota line, right? That's like their best bet, in my opinion. But just too much damage, really, is what I was thinking to win. But, you know, you want to get a big push, too, if you can't win. So I'm looking at his car. It looks all mangled. If you're wondering why Bubba Wallace is in front of him instead of him, and that's why. His car just, he wasn't going to be able to get out there and do anything with that push. But he did give Bubba a pretty neat push. Bubba Wallace ran well. Anytime you get up there, you're second. You finish second in Daytona. That's a hell of a feat for anybody. There's a lot of folks thinking that he's going to come out strong and hard this week. But he ran well. That was a nice push Kyle was giving him. Kyle driving Wallace down low to the front. I love to see it. 15 to go. Stenhouse in the Chevys, they go, you know, it's like, this is what I thought was cool. With 15 to go, Brad Doherty's team, the 47, Ricky Stenhouse, that's a single Chevy team, but they pair up with another, you know, single team out there. And so that was cool to see. 10 to go, we get the wreck, though. But that sucked. But it was cool watching Stenhouse and the Brad Doherty car there just run hard, like a single car team, just, like, kicking. But we get the wreck, 10 to go with the restart. Stenhouse is in the front at this point. And so it's like, you know, can they stay up there? Because it's just him, right? Like, single car. But the problem is he's got the three Fords, those three pesky Fords right behind him. So we get the restart, and Stenhouse wrecks, right? So he gets a push from Keselowski. Again, questions about, is this dude, you know, racing too hard or whatever. But it was just cool to see some guys who aren't teammates, like, lock up. Like, racing by yourself is hard. What I mean is working together is like drafting and stuff like that. You need a bump. You need a push. You need, you know, tandem, you know, drafts to really get somewhere. And so we saw Stenhouse get wrecked. He got that push from the six, just like Harrison before him. Austin Cindric by half a car length over Bubba Wallace. 41st driver to win a Daytona 500. And it was the fifth time for Penske, with four different drivers Penske's won it. Bubba Wallace second. It was a great race for him. Just held off Ryan Blaney. Blaney should be better this week too, but great run by the rookie Austin Cindric. You couldn't ask for more of a storyline thing for him, you know, more story, fairy tale story thing for him, I should say. So, you know, the way it goes, you win a race and you're automatically in the playoffs, right? And so he's done that, which is fantastic. He can sort of sit back and learn from this year, learn from the car, and be ready for the playoffs. But a fantastic race nonetheless, like I said, a lot of action. And we move on this week to Fontana, the Auto Club Speedway. If you don't know, that is a car racing track in San Bernardino, California here. But this will be a little bit of a different race, a little bit of a tighter race. Kind of like Michigan, this track is, I think. But I know there was some issues with Kyle Busch and qualifying today, practice. I think there's something going on with his car. I'm not sure. But if you want to have an eye on who may have an opportunity to do well this week, you know, Alex Bowman won this race last year, so he has to be, you know, not discounted, if you ask me. But also, Kyle Larson is the heavy favorite. Probably the best driver in NASCAR right now, pure driver. But he's a big favorite to actually just walk away with the win. Kyle Larson, I think Kyle Busch also, but he's got the problems with the car. Denny Hamlin didn't, you know, he had a DNF last week. He's going to be rearing back and ready to go. He does not like DNS. DNS is do not finish. I think he only had one all of last season or something like that. Crazy. He just doesn't, like, that's not a thing that happens to him, so it's pretty rare. But he should be barnstorming back into it for sure. I think Bubba Wallace does have a chance to have a great showing. He should continue to build on that impressive outing that he had at the Daytona 500. But ultimately, this, you know, those are probably the guys I'd be most worried about this week. I've got interest for DraftKings, but as I said, I'm not confident in those picks yet, so I'm not going to put you guys on any of that stuff. But Blaney for sure, Bowman, Larson. Reddick, I think, is a savvy pick this week for Richard Childress Racing. RCR, Tyler Reddick, I think he has an opportunity to be effective this week. But those will be the guys I would be looking at. So I'll be taking, you know, a look at the race, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll talk about it again next week, guys. But it's been the first episode of Pit Row. I think it's just going to continue to be more like this, and then maybe adding in some DFS picks. But hopefully you enjoy this little mini podcast, we'll say. All right, guys, we'll talk to you next week. Happy racing. This has been Pit Row. If you'd enjoyed it, drive back through next week. We'll do it again. Another Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment production.